Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It's the Growler with BD and J. Here to analyze for you today. From Growler Bed to J's Got Stats. We hope you enjoy this episode of the Growler Podcast.
Tuesday. Next Tuesday after the draft, April 30th at 7 o'clock, post-draft special at the BetMGM Sportsbook and Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. Bengals Director of College Scouting Mike Potts will be our guest. We'll be down there breaking down all the picks, talking about everything, eating the delicious burgers.
Yes,
you can go make bets. You can hang out. If you haven't been down there, it's awesome. It's right across from GABP. You can hang out there, have all the drinks that you want, eat all the delicious food, and come on in. We are super pumped about this. And great to have BetMGM here with all of our draft coverage. It's going to be awesome. And our draft coverage, it starts with the Mega Mock. And that's why our good friend James Erpine from Sports Illustrated, Locked On, Cincinnati Bengals Talk, is here to join us. James, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? That music, man. Woo. That's
it's
some good music.
Get you in the mood.
Right. It is. It's draft season now. I heard that. I was like, all right, I'm ready to love the draft a bit. What's up?
Well, it's great to have you here. And our other great friend, Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, known for his media mock drafts that are as popular as it gets. What's up, buddy?
Thanks for having me on, Paul. I'm wearing the hat of my favorite club, the Bengals 09 version.
That hat doesn't look 15 years old, though.
This is the first time I've probably worn it.
This is great. Shout out to Mike Petralia, who was supposed to join us, but we had some technical issues before we started. Great friend from CLNS Media. So it's going to be the four of us. And those of you that don't know about what this is, because we basically predict what's going to happen. Like last year, I believe the year of Dax Hill, James, you've had Dax Hill. Yep. I think I had Taylor Britt last year. I think I snagged Miles Murphy. We're all over the universe of players here. We've compiled the list. It's going to be round one, round two, and round three. We're going to go up and down round one. Scratch some names off the list that we know are not going to be there. Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, Alt, Turner, Bowers. And bad news, Bowers is out. Olufoshanu's out. Telis Fuaga is out, much to James's dismay. Are you okay? Are you still want to stay on board even though they are out?
I'm good. I'm ready to go. Don't you worry.
You're good. So we're going to go through. We've got an order, and we're each going to pick, and that person then gets eliminated after we pick. And this is a great way to kind of get a feel for the universe of players. We're all feeling confident. We want to just hop right into it here. James, you are leading off. All right. So see if you can go to this group. There's a lot of familiar names. We all know the universe now. The offensive linemen here, J.C. Latham, Troy Fitanyu, Amarius Mims. On down, Barton, Guyton, Powers, Johnson, Jordan Morgan. Defensive line, Byron Murphy, Jared Verse, Latu, Robinson, Newton. Receivers, Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey. Corners, Terry and Arnold, Quinion Mitchell. All the corners available. Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry. I crossed all these guys off that are out by virtue of the most popular mock drafts, having that kind of this unanimous group off by the top 14. So this opens up a world of options. James, I turn it over to you.
This is going to shock maybe everyone here and that's fine. I'm comfortable with that because I'm picking who I think the Bengals are going to pick at 18. I think Amarius Mims is the Cincinnati Bengal of choice, and I think that's going to be a Bengal on Thursday.
You're taking Mims over. Now you're trying to hit it on the head.
Yep.
You're saying that they would take Mims over Latham is your.
I think Latham will be gone. Right. So their strategy.
Latham is available to you here is my point.
Sure.
I'm trying to hit it on the head is your point.
Correct. Because I do think they'd probably take Latham. Safer, pass blocking is proven, all of those things. But I would take Mims over Latham, I think. I think he's got a higher ceiling. And so we'll see. I know Latham is available. I'm going to go with Mims.
All right. I'm a little surprised by that. But I get it. I mean, I get it. It's just a big swing for me on Mims. You have Trent Brown in place, so it does buy you time. And that's great. I wonder about the projection nature of Mims and if that fits with what they're looking for. I mean, he obviously fits body type.
Yeah, he fits a lot. I mean, his wingspan, he could literally reach from my office to yours right now. And in blocking,
you know who else had a great wingspan? Cedric Obwehi had a notable wingspan. Remember that?
All right, hold up. I get this.
I'm not saying he's Cedric Obwehi. I must not get obsessed over wingspan, is my point.
Yeah, sure. He's also not coming off of an ACL, and his first college start was in the college football playoff against Ohio State.
I'm not calling him Cedric Obwehi. Really, this is about wingspan conversation.
But people are going to be saying that, and it's good. It's wild because there's nothing. The only thing that he has in common with Cedric Obwehi is they're both offensive linemen, and they're going to go in the first round. So two things.
That's fair. I mean, they both have questions about the amount of experience that they have coming out, right?
For sure. One didn't have an ACL. Doesn't have an ACL though. Injured.
Okay. Well, my pick. I'm up here. I am going to. I'm tempted. I have to take my guy, even though I'm like you. I don't think he's going to be there either.
Yeah.
But I have to take my guy, Byron Murphy, who I think is the game changer. The idea of Byron Murphy, Sheldon Rankins, and BJ Hill working inside, and the idea of Miles Murphy, Sam Hubbard, and Trey Hendrickson working outside with mixing and matching and Lou getting to cook. I think it makes that they love investing in the defensive line. Murphy has the possibility to be one of these true elite game changers in there. His numbers in college dictate that. And if he projects to that, there's just so few places you can really find those guys. They're just so hard to find. So for that, I'm taking it strictly off. It's just so hard to find somebody that could potentially give you what Byron Murphy could give you, whereas we see them year in and year out find people that can give them right tackle play. They continually do that in free agency and have found ways of doing it. So I'm leaning to Murphy that way, even though, again, I don't think that he's necessarily going to be there.
Yeah, I disagree with both. I don't think Murphy will be there. I do think Latham will be there, and I'm going to make him my pick here. I think it makes too much sense. Has played right tackle, has played well, has done it. And I mentioned this on the previous pod. He's done it in the SEC, the Pac-12, not necessarily known for their elite defense. I just think the fit is better there. The potential for him to kick inside to guard if need be this year, if he can't beat out Trent Brown, and then he can battle Cordell Volson, or he waits a year and he's your right tackle next year. Even if Mims is there, I don't know that pick 18 is where you're banking on upside. I think you need more of a solid swing there than swinging for the fences and going for the home run. He may develop and be an all-pro tackle, but there's that chance that he's in the Obwehi conversation too. There's just too many questions about him for me to feel good about taking him there at 18. They need a more solid pick, right tackle of the future. And I do think Latham will be there. I think you're going to see a crazy first round, and you're going to see a lot of teams jumping the Bengals and jumping up And they're not going to be doing it to take tackles because there's so many of them available. And it's some of those other positions. Murphy maybe goes much higher than everyone expects. And a lot of those tackles slide back. And I think Latham will be available at 18, and he will be the one the Bengals take.
Yeah. I mean, if he's there, I think that it's hard to argue. Mm-hmm. And there's still some risk with Latham too. He may be as slow as Paul Daner Jr. in the three cone. We don't know.
You don't want that.
And so, but to Jay's point, they've taken guys like that and haven't hesitated if there's enough film on them. Mm-hmm. And so it would be hard if Latham makes it there. It would be hard for them, I think, to say no, even if Murphy is there, even if Murphy's there.
Yeah, I mean that's a tough one. You know, I'd love to see what the board looks like. On that note, Butchie, you know, I'll say JC Latham to me. I've talked about doubles versus home runs, particularly in the Mims Latham conversation and things like that. And we know we've all forever talked about Duke Tobin as a doubles hitter, right? I mean, that's something that he's focused on, and that's why to me Latham makes so much sense for them out of these offensive linemen if he's there, just because he feels like a double to me. Like he just feels like a dude that's done it, played in the SEC, played over there on that side, big, strong, powerful anchor, all these things that they like, and he feels much safer than some of the other guys in that respect. Would you agree, yeah. Butch?
I do agree with that. I'm just, you know, naturally it's all about me and my pick. That's what I'm thinking about. So what are you thinking?
Who you're up? You got two.
I have
picks.
None of
Who
these guys, though, right? I don't have any of these players available to me because you guys have taken them. But it could be that this could be indeed what the board looks like. I mean, I do think six quarterbacks going to go before the Bengals pick, which will help.
You're calling for six.
Calling for six.
I mean, first 17. Penix and Knicks end up in there too. The Bengals are. You might Penix see them running. Fast. You might see them running up and down Maring Way in a full parade. Maybe there'll be a drum, a baton. Yeah. I mean, I think if six quarterbacks go off, that's a dream scenario for teams. Any of these teams in the teens, especially one like the Bengals.
So you got to figure they're going to be taking. You know, I know. I think every team likes Fontana. The guy you can play all four spots,
Washington,
right? But this is what I'm talking about here. This is now you're at 18. You got the best corner on the board. That's got to make you stop and think. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I'm hoping that it's almost like they grab one of those guys so Baltimore or Pittsburgh doesn't get him. That's one of the that's one of the things I dread, which has been talked about. They're talking, you know, both the Ravens and the Steelers, they even have former Ravens lobbying the Ravens to take the best corner on the board. Let's do two things. Let's take the best corner on the board and let's stop them from going to Baltimore or Pittsburgh. I mean, obviously, you'd have to say you figure if there's one of those, I mean, it's a deep tackle class, you know, they'd go that way. But I'm just looking at it from a practical standpoint. I'm looking at the board now. I got to believe that one of those corners, be he Mitchell or Wiggins, is going to be above one of those tackles that are left at 18, if that's the way it plays out. And, Paul, you help me. I know you've got the thing about Lou and the long arms, and Wiggins doesn't have long arms. I think Mitchell is the quintessential prototypical corner prospect, I believe. I mean, we saw him at the Senior Bowl. The guy was head and shoulders above anybody else at the Senior Bowl. He can run, he can cover, he can turn his head. So I think at this point, matchup, you know, Tyson Anderson's lonely there, the Toledo guy. draft his team. Now, I know that's a risk. People are probably calling me nuts. But at the way this plays out, the way I would see it, you got to take the – if you're going to be true to your board – I got to believe the corner is the best guy there at this point.
Well, I mean, you know, the one thing about that, Butch, and that would be out of character for the Bengals, is you're talking about Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. They've loved to go into these big schools, guys that have played in championship games, played big and big games. His big game was maybe the Senior Bowl, and he did show out that week. And so maybe that's kind of the way to look at it that way. I wonder about that, how the Toledo factor comes in there when you're talking about 18 overall. Okay. It's different when you're talking about Tyson Anderson. And I get it, but he certainly looks like he can play.
Okay. I mean, it looked like, I mean, and they do go off this. I mean, they are big guys about what happens at the Senior Bowl. You know, that does. But you're right. Okay, so you know what? We'll go with a big school guy, very productive. Might not be as long as you'd like, but let's go with Wiggins there then.
I don't have a problem with the Mitchell pick. I'm taking Mitchell over Wiggins. I'm just talking.
You better take Mitchell over Wiggins. Mitchell's a stud.
I love. I mean, it's not about not liking Mitchell. It's just the devil's advocate is the history of the Bengals leaning more into bigger school guys with these early picks in particular, and that would be a little out of character for them. But Mitchell's the best corner, I think.
Right. There's no question. He's the best player on the board at that point with what you've left me. And
if he's there, I agree with you, Butch. If he's there,
I was kind of giving you a shout out there because you did a great story last week about traits that have been developed in the Zach Taylor regime and the Duke Tobin draft room. And you talked about traits, and you're exactly right with the Clemson, Michigan. That's kind of a byproduct of the Duke and Marvin Lewis were also big school guys too, And I think that's kind of a deal. So, but best player on the board, it'd be interesting to see where they, what their board has. But yeah, I think Mitchell's the best guy at this point with all those guys gone, and that could happen. I'll go with Mitchell.
So you go with Mitchell, you got to come back and do it a second time.
Yeah, another one.
Keep challenging you. So now do you go to one of the offensive linemen or are you taking,
Warner's
are
still
you saying,
there?
Yeah, you still have Tanyu there from Washington and which seems like, he's been a popular, I wonder if he'll make it, Seattle is the obvious one to watch with him. You've got his former offensive coordinator and line coach hanging out there with the Seahawks now. And so I wonder if he'll make it.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be there myself. So I'm going to have a hard time taking him because I don't think he's going to be there. Fontana, I'm talking about, at 18. So this is the point. Now this is where you get into how far is this? Does this tackle thing?
All I'll say for this exercise, he is there. So he's available to you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying, James had Latham available, but he didn't take him because he didn't think
he's over here trying to pinpoint. I don't know what James.
I'm trying to get it right, Butch.
He's trying to hit.
But how far is this? Okay, so say Fontana's gone, and my God, I'm going to have brutal time if they draft one of these guys. Dan Hoard's going to have to. I'm going to have to go to a Dan
Hoard. We'll
work
it. We'll be with you
do the pronunciation, but. But here's where we get to the how deep is this tackle thing in the first round? How deep does it go as deep as Guyton? Okay, I'm still staring. If I don't have Mitchell, I'm still staring at the best wide receiver. I'm probably the best player on the board right now with Mitchell off is probably Brian Thomas. He's probably the best player on the board right
going
now.
To the receiver. I mean, right? it's an interesting conversation to have,
right?
Without question, and that would be. You'd wonder what the fallout is there, but add receivers, right? I mean, add receivers. I would wonder if they did that move, and this is a fun discussion, James. If something like that happened, let's just say that you got to wonder if T. Higgins is getting traded for 33, or something is happening there. If that's what cooks off there, because that's an aggressive move at receiver, which I think they're gonna be aggressive at receiver in this draft, but. Not many have, I wonder if they made a move there, if that would be indicative that something is going to happen next.
It's so similar to Jonah in last year. Had they landed Anton Harrison Jr. at pick 28 and he almost fell to them, do you just move Jonah instead and get more draft assets? And look, the element of it that's tough is can T, Brian Thomas Jr., and Jamar Chase all play together? Sure. But he isn't the most versatile. He's not going in the slot a ton. And Brian Thomas Jr. only ran so many routes at LSU. He's a stud, though. I mean, run a sub 4.4. He's a 4.3, 6.3, just contested catch. Awesome guy. Like, I don't blame the pick. I just think you're right. It's interesting. And the styles would overlap a little bit. And so you'd wonder if that's the route that they would go. And I'm sure teams would instantly call, like a Carolina, because T is going to be better than whatever receiver makes it to them on their board, I think, in round two.
He's also going to be a lot more expensive. But you mentioned a similar to Jonah. This is, I see it as kind of similar to Mixon, where we all saw that move coming, but they didn't pull the trigger on it until they had Zach Moss in the fold. So I could see that. I could see they get Brian Thomas, and then they say, okay, we've got him in place. Now we can entertain offers for T. And I don't know. I'm not saying they will do that, but I could see it happening.
Yeah, but they don't do that. I mean, that's not there. I mean, I think the Joe Burrow window, you know, I think they keep all those guys.
Yeah, I think that Joe is the most likely.
I don't disagree. That's why I would think the second or third round receiver is what fits perfectly into the way they're currently structured. What you're talking about, Higgins, you're talking about Chase, and you're talking about somebody who's more of an inside outside, maybe slot guy that you get and use the depth of this draft. And maybe that guy turns into more. Maybe Charlie Jones rises. Maybe Andre Yoshivash rises, and you have more options when you reconvene next offseason. But for now, you have a lot of potentially versatile weapons that slot in better. So I don't think they're going to trade T. Higgins either, but I'm saying if there was an aggressive play at receiver early, especially for a guy like Thomas, who's more like Higgins, then you're wondering what the next step would be.
And I'm assuming, I mean, on my board, my board should not be, should probably not see the light of day, but at that point he would be the top receiver the top player on my board. So would you let if you're truly picking top player on your board, you'd have to talk about it. If you don't want to talk about receiver and you want to talk about the receiver later, then, it depends.
Take him off your board.
Yeah. It depends where you get
Fontana. I just think it pushes him down. I think it pushes him down their board because for the Bengals, he's not a current. I don't think he's a fit for where they sit. And like you said, unless something else is happening.
Yeah. But I will say this. I think about receiver all the time. So I'm with you, Butch. Receiver. I pick 10 receivers. If Duke gives me the control.
You want to get in?
10 receivers, baby.
All right, Jay.
I think Zach thinks about receivers.
No doubt. Sure. And they should. Look how they're powered. Look what's got them here. Look who they are. So I don't have a problem with investing. And this that would be an aggressive invest. Jay, you're up.
Yeah, so if Butch had gone in a different direction, Thomas was going to be my pick. He was the next one on my board. With Thomas off, I'm going to stick with the right tackle of the future and go with Fontanu. I just, again, versatility to possibly play guard. There's just a lot to like there. I think it's always felt like offensive tackle was going to be the first round pick this year. It still feels like that the closer we get to the draft. So, obviously this is a contingency as we go through. We're all picking two first rounders, but I'm going to back up Latham with Fontanu.
This is the interesting, we almost kind of start getting into conversations that you have about trade back now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting here looking at this board right now, and there's Barton, Guyton, Powers, Johnson. I'm looking at some of the edges are still sitting here right now. Technically. I mean, I'm like looking at Latu and thinking, well, I don't know where he goes, but damn, the dude can play. Or any of these types of guys that could be fit in terms of size fits that we've traditionally seen from Lou. And to me, this is where you're saying you're willing to take one of these corners if you're moving back. If you move back, you bring a lot of things into play. How far you would move back. Let's say, we were writing today about how the Eagles, Howie's Mr. Move Up, like Howie goes up over and over again. Well, you're going back four spots. Maybe this is where you're sitting there talking. You moved back into the Eagles pick and you're looking at a different world and you're saying now the corner feels a whole lot more appetizing than it did when you were taking it at 18 when we were talking about a different group. And so I would be considering that. I would certainly be considering that here at this group because most of this top ones, that this is the cliff. This is where I'm just fielding calls. I'm just seeing how I'm going back. I'm trying to add in the middle. I think I've already taken Murphy. So Newton certainly is sitting there and looking appetizing at this point compared to some of the other guys. I got to tell you, it would be weird. I'd be interested in talking about Graham Barton at this point, just for his pure versatility. And he seems to be really liked. And what he could bring. And there's a lot of people, including some of our experts, that think he could still play tackle in this league, and maybe he could, where he could be somebody that you could talk about there. With I think that for me, I'm probably going to say Newton here, Johnny Newton, and go for the disruptive three technique, just because I still think the same discussion I had with Murphy, I'm having with Newton here. It's like, look, if you can be that guy, if you can be one of these dudes, and the last 2 years he's been that, they're just so hard to find. And if I don't have any of these top tackles available to me, I'm going with Johnny Newton, who people think that I don't like because I'm always talking about Murphy. I have plenty of love for Newton. I just think they're different players, but that's my pick.
Wouldn't you love a trade back? What you're talking about, that trade back there, get Newton in a corner. I mean, that's a pretty that'd be a nice day at the beach.
Well, what you're adding, if you're moving back there, potentially you're adding another top 100 pick, and all the things we're about to talk about next come into play. All right, James, finish us off.
Man, yeah, I hate you. That's who I was. I was hoping you'd take the Terrion Arnold bait. I was hoping Butchie would convince you to take the corner on a trade down scenario. I was thinking Johnny Newton and Amarius Mims. Oh, I like my chances of being right.
Yeah.
All right. I think if this is the board, and so it's Graham Barton, Tyler Guyton, A.D. Mitchell, Terrion Arnold are one of the defensive ends, it's not an offensive lineman. I just really struggle with them taking a defensive end, a second straight first round pick, using a second straight first round pick on him.
Right.
I think it has to be Terrion Arnold. I think he would be the best player on their board. You talk about big school corners. He's probably not even going to be there, to be honest. Same with Quinyon Mitchell.
Certainly not this far back when we're talking about we've now cycled into eighth player. Yeah. There's almost no
but
shot.
But if he's there at 18,
in mid 20s.
Like I took Mims with my first one, but they could easily say, oh, well, Arnold's a much more sure bet than Mims, than Latham, than or maybe not Latham, but then Fatanu maybe. Maybe they don't like him as a right tackle as much. I think it's interesting there. So, yeah, Terrion Arnold is my pick. And it wasn't necessarily the plan. I was hoping for Johnny Newton, but I'll settle for Arnold.
All right. Arnold is the pick there. All right, so we've gone through the first round of stuff here. I want to take one quick second to talk about our friends, our great new partners at BetMGM. Reminder, you can step to the podium and make your pick with this first bet offer from the King of Sportsbooks. Sign up with BetMGM, make a deposit, and place your first wager on any game. If that bet loses, you'll get your original stake paid back in bonus bets up to $1,500. All you got to do, download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android, or visit BetMGM.com. Sign up and deposit at least $10 into your BetMGM Sportsbook account. Place your first wager and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. So step onto the gridiron, take a chance with this first bet offer from the King of Sportsbooks. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that not expire in 7 days. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. 21 years of age or older only and present in Ohio. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so on BetMGM, by the way, Bengals currently plus 1,400 to win Super Bowl. Exact same as Houston and Buffalo. Tops of the AFC, Chiefs plus 650, Ravens plus 900. Here's my question to you guys quickly. Among that group, who is the one player or one move the Bengals should be most rooting against on Thursday? These AFC contenders are going to be looking to make moves. They've got some serious needs that I think are obvious, players that might fit them. James, what's one of these major AFC contenders that you're watching to see, man, if they do that, that could be trouble for the rest of the league?
One of these stud, Johnny Newton, for example, falls to 32 at Kansas City.
Yeah.
And it's Chris Jones, Johnny Newton, just like, all right, like that really sucks because you want to go to Arrowhead and throw it 50 times. So it's something like that. A wide receiver wouldn't scare me if Kansas City did it. The corners really wouldn't scare me. I think anytime Jamar Chase is in your division, you're going to try to add corners. So I think some of those corners could go to the north, but one of those elite pass rushers would be scary.
Yeah. Jay, what do you think?
Well, one of those receivers does scare me. And if Xavier Worthy goes to Kansas City, that speed in that offense, we saw it with Tyreek. I'm not saying that he's as good, but they know what to do with speed there. And that would, I think, be a problem for the Bengals defense. Look how they won the Super Bowl last year with a suspect receiving core. You get that guy in that offense, that's trouble.
Do you want that guy at 49 coming up next? about that tease.
No.
Butchie, what do you think?
Got my 09 hat on here. Leon Hall, Jonathan Joseph, two great corners. I'm looking at the division. They swept the division that year in 09, and I'm kind of division-centric, so I can't even look at Kansas City and Buffalo. You got to get out of the North. They haven't been good in the North, and I really wouldn't like it if Brian Thomas slid to Pittsburgh. Yikes. Yeah. Or something like that, or to Baltimore, or you know. Geez, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. I'll say one thing I'm eyeing, and we've seen this kind of being discussed a lot, and that's the Bills coming up for one of the big three receivers. I mean, that it would be a bold move, but Brandon Bean appears to be loading. We know what he needs. And if you give I just think they can turn forward so much quicker if they end up in up to 9 with the Bears or somebody else in that top 10 and end up with Aroma Dunze or Neighbors or Harrison. I mean, they end up getting one of those guys to pair with Josh Allen, their whole offense falls right back into place immediately. I don't know what they have to give up to get there. We got to go back to the Thomas Dimitroff, Julio Jones trade in 11 on the AJ Green draft, because it's the last time we've seen anybody make a major move like that for a receiver. You have to give up a lot, but that would be the one thing I would be keeping an eye on and knowing that could be trouble. All right, let's flip it forward here into round two. So the round two stipulation, we're just going to go down in round two and come back in round three. Anyone in Dane Brugler's mock draft 41 or later is on the board for you. So James, you are at the top now of the snake. So pulling up the mock draft, what are you feeling here? What kind of positions are you eyeing first, and who do you pick?
Yeah, I think this is the time when you really start to look and think deep, like weapon. Will one of these receivers be there that you think is that maybe that you have a top 30 grade on your board, or top 33 grade, where you're getting pretty darn good value? Because a lot of tackles, why I like the offensive tackle pick at 18 is by the time you get to 49, it's going to be a whole nother, you're going to be going from the beach to Kansas City in December, as far as quality tackle goes. It's going to drop because there's just going to be so many that go. And I think receiver, that happens between, I'd say, pick 35 and maybe it's pick 80, but maybe it's pick 60, because these receivers go quick and there's going to be a drop outside of the slot only type guy. So to me, it's a guy I've been on for a while. They have to overlook something with all of these receivers, by the way. And so whether it's age, whether it's their weight, different things like that. I think a lot of these guys fit most things, but might not check every box. And so I'm going to go with a weapon here, even though I think Cooper Beebe is really, really interesting out of Kansas State. I think Troy Franklin is someone that they would potentially target here. You get all of the Brian Thomas stuff, the downfield threat, the speed after catch, all of those things. He needs to put on a few pounds, but he's got the frame for it. And you get him in round two. So I think he can be similar. I'm just using Thomas because he was already drafted in this mock. But even if it's an A.D. Mitchell, I think they would like Franklin over Xavier Worthy, for example. I do. So that's my pick here.
You're right. You do have to, you know, look past some things. The thing with Franklin is what is his route running look like, particularly coming if they're asking him to come inside. We talked in the top in round one about Brian Thomas, where how much versatility are you getting out of him? Well, how does that fit in with the current structure right now? I wonder that some about Franklin, who would certainly be far from what they have been doing inside of the slot if they were asking him to do some of that. And maybe that means they're leaning more into Charlie Jones this year and they're just figuring it out. I don't know. That's my one thing with Franklin that I wonder about is how would he fit in immediately? I think you can see how he would fit in on the line. I wonder how he would fit in immediately, but yeah, the speed and the playmaking certainly stands out when you watch him.
Yeah. I am going to go receiver here. I thought
you're skipping me, just so you know.
Oh okay. It's okay. I was tipping my hand. Okay.
It's no, okay. Don't tip your hand. I'm going receiver. It's okay. I am going receiver. I've been going receiver.
Jay wants Xavier Worthy.
I've been going receiver in the second round over and over again.
Yeah, what's that? He's a Roman
Wilson. You're a big Roman Wilson guy.
Paul, I'm a big Roman Wilson guy. Look, here's when I watch Roman Wilson, and what stands out to me over and over again is I feel like I'm watching what worked with Joe Burrow, and that is his awareness off script and his speed to quickly see what's going on when the quarterback flushes and accelerate away from people and run away from people when he's running those crossers and all that other stuff. And the way that he gained separation and had real awareness for everywhere he was on the field, both at the Senior Bowl and again in that Michigan tape, played big in big games, made some incredible catches. Again, you're excusing some things. Is he the biggest, longest? No, but I think in today's game, we've learned this, especially last year with some of the guys that really excelled. If you can get open, to me, he's just got big Jaden Reed vibes. I was a Jaden Reed guy last year for them. I think he's the same type of guy that could be that this year. Separation, awareness, off script. I like Roman Wilson. I would be
taking him
with a number of receivers here. I'm taking Roman Wilson. I'd be comfortable with Ricky Pearsall, who I think is a similar type, but I like Roman a little bit better than him. And I think he would fit with them. I just think he would be a great fit with what they do is why I like Roman Wilson for them and what Burrow does well.
Yeah. That was going to be my pick.
Wow.
I
sold you. I must have sold you point because I've definitely made that spiel many times before.
4-2-1 is there, Jay. Come on.
Who?
Xavier Worthy. He's right there.
No.
Come on now. No. Take him. Take the
I'd love Sanders still. And he's the top guy available. He's number 42 in Dane's mock. He's the first one available to be picked. But I don't if the tackle that they take in the first round is potentially not starting till next year, I think Sanders still will be in that same boat. And I think you're looking for someone that can be more of an impact right now, this year. And Paul mentioned him. I kind of have them 1A and 1B right now as far as choices. And it's Ricky Pearsall from Florida. He's another guy I think that can really – I don't know that he has a really high ceiling, but he's a guy that you know he's going to come in. He's got great hands. He's not going to drop the ball. And he's a guy that they can move around some and allow them to move Jamar around some more. I love Roman Wilson so much more. Roman Wilson is not just a fit as a player. He's a fit as a dude. He is a Bengals template as a human being. But I think Pearsall's right there too, as far as a fit as a player. And I'd be surprised to see them not go wide receiver with one of the first couple picks. So that's the way I'm going to go here.
Ricky Pearsall. All right, Butch. So you've got a second round pick here, and then you'll take your third round pick. But let's start with your second round pick. What are you thinking here?
Okay, it looks like I didn't take a tackle in the first round, right? So,
right, and you don't have to. You don't have to put together a great complete draft. But if you want to play them off of each other, you absolutely can do whatever you want to do. It's your world, really, Butch. We're just it's an open ended exercise.
I'm thinking you can get a good tackle in the second that can really help you. And I'm not sure I can't get, I guess my subscriptions run out because I can't get the Danes deal, but on PFF, Sumanitea from BYU, could you get him at 49?
I don't think so.
From BYU?
Not in this exercise. No. He's 34 for Dane. Your athletic subscription has expired.
Apparently. You know,
wow.
Jeff trying to cheat.
Scene.
Don't cheat
tough
me, Jeff.
Scene Come over on. Here.
Wow. No, I know. You know, honestly,
I'll get you a guess.
Won't they automatically renew?
No, it was all I can tell you is it was working yesterday.
You're busted. You're busted.
No, it was working yesterday.
He says it was working.
I'm gonna have to go. Then I'll have to go Jordan Morgan. Then
is he available?
I don't. All right. This is like every fantasy football draft you've ever been to. And there's the guy who's like, I don't have the sheet.
Is Aaron Rodgers available in the third round? Who's
available? Jamar Chase here. He's taken. Yeah.
You want Roger Rosengarten? He's available.
Nah, I'm going to.
Taking the best tackle available is what you're saying.
Yeah, and you can't do it because there's nobody there. So
that's right.
They're going to have to get that guy early.
There you know? Go.
And there if you you're, go. And if you know, now you're here. Not, and there's not, and you know what? There's not a corner here either.
Nope.
So you know, you kind of, if you're not careful, if you're not careful, you're going to end up in a black hole there. So,
well, you've got a slot corner here. I mean, you've got Mike Hilton too on the board from Michigan.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're interested in setting that up, he's there, but.
You know, I think I'd kind of rather take Fisk from Florida State, but that's a little high for him, isn't it?
No,
go for it. He's right there available for you. So Braden Fisk. All right. Yep. There you go, from Florida State. Go to the defensive tackle route. Certainly.
Right. Good. You know, he's got a lot of speed. He's athletic. He's what they need. You know, they probably need another tackle too. They're probably going to need another D tackle in this draft. So let's get it out of the way early.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assumption that by the time you get to, if they take one in the first four picks, which we assume that there's going to be a double up coming on day three with one of those bigger run stopping types that they brought in, and you know, that aren't really going to be your day one, day two guys, just because this draft doesn't really provide that, especially once Tavondre Sweat went driving around Texas. So it's like you've got a whole different setup there. All right, Butch, so now we're in the third round, and I think a lot of this, you know, what they're going to do here is dependent on how their first and second round picks break. And they've got two, which is helpful for them to figure it out at both 80 and 97. I have on this anyone 65 or later. So here's some of the names available. Running back Jonathan Brooks, Brandon Dorlus. You've got the defensive lineman from Oregon. Edges, you're not going Malachi Corley. The receiver from Western Kentucky, Blake Corum, Trey Benson, Dominic Pooney, Tyler Newbin, Jalen Polk from Washington, Kamari Lassiter, Chris Braswell. You've got Roger Rosengarten, who you mentioned earlier, Tez Walker, Theo Johnson, a tight end, Jermaine Burton, receiver, Blake Fisher at tackle. You got some of these like next level tackles are all down here. So there's a bunch of different directions that you could go in this area.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pragmatically, that's where you figure they're going to get the their depth at cornerback, you know, seems to have been kind of underplayed this year a little bit to me. It seems to be a lot of people focused on the two lines, you know. But speak to me about their depth at corner. I think that's going to be addressed pretty early if it's not addressed in the first round. Am I
if
wrong?
It's not. I think you're dipping back into free agency where there's some names available. I mean, that's one thing. The free agent corner market is kind of sad out there for what they're looking for. I mean, you're looking for somebody who, if you're not drafting one high, who's going to back up DJ Turner or Dax Hill's in this equation somewhere, right? So what that plan looks like exactly probably dictates some of what their depth at corner is, but I mean, they could still go in the free agent market if this doesn't work out for them.
Yeah. I think if they don't take a corner back here, we've got the Dax Hill answer. You can give me any corner you want there, but make it a cornerback.
All right, Jay, come back around for us.
So, I mean, I'm kind of in the position where Butch was, where I didn't get the defensive tackle. Now there's none that makes sense in this spot. He was with offensive tackle. I'm with defensive tackle. I'm not trying to round out and have a well-rounded draft here. I'm trying to make hits and get guys right.
Trying to get hits.
Yes. So, you know, maybe I miss on Pearsall. Maybe they go a different direction. Yeah, so I'm going Jalen Polk. I'm going Jalen Polk.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. I love that fit there. And if they do go – if I'd be surprised, actually, if they went offense. So more likely offense, defense, and then come back to offense with Polk. And again, a guy that, you know, may not be a future all pro, but he's a guy that can really fit in this offense to be a compliment to Jamar Chase. And I pretty much every mock I've done, I've had them taking Polk, and there's no reason to go away from it here.
Yeah. Man. If he's sitting there for you at this point, the versatility, you know, it gives you so many options for how the offense can grow, what you can do with Jamar Chase. He augments Jamar Chase in a lot of ways because you can now move Jamar around a little bit more because Polk can do a little bit more. I like that. I like McMillan too. Now I think either of these two Washington receivers have a chance to end up Bengals at some point, whatever we're talking about, whenever those guys come off the board. So I'm curious to see what happens with Jalen Polk, with with Jalen McMillan and see where that goes. I've already taken the wide receiver. I am trying to be well-rounded and make hits. But this is where you end up. If you do end up passing on the tackle, and I went Murphy and Newton in the first two picks, and then I went with the receiver, you know, you're sitting in a different world down here, but I'm kind of happy to be sitting here and staring at Roger Rosengarten and with this pick at being available with 80, a guy who's proven he's played in big games. He's held up. He's got solid guy who could develop, and you know, you don't need him immediately. He's got time. He's got skins on the wall. So if I'm here and I'm still haven't taken a tackle at this point, which is in play, that's a great name to be sitting here staring at, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
like it. And I mean, we're really Washington Huskies heavy in this exercise.
We love them. Yes, we love them. We're all about the Huskies. James, you get to wrap us up here with your round three pick.
There's a couple of guys, and I think this is the time. The round two corners are pretty non-existent. Now's the time when I think cornerback enters the conversation again. So I think Butch is on it there. If Rosengarten's there at 80, then it is. It's like, man, I wish I would have waited on offensive tackle. I'm not sure he will be, but I really like that pick. But I think to try to be well-rounded as well, and to do what I think the Bengals will do, which is not prioritize tight end, because I see Ben Sinnott right there, and I'm just like, all right, well, let's go. Let's get Ben Sinnott. But I'm not going to do that because I think they're really going to like Brandon Dorlus as well. And apparently I have an affinity for Oregon players. And so they go with Brandon Dorlus, the defensive lineman out of Oregon, pair him with Troy Franklin and either Terrion Arnold or Amarius Mims. And I do think that the day two defensive tackle class, I think they get one. If they don't get one of the top two guys on day one, I think on day two they'll get one, and we could see one or two more on day three. And so this is just the start of that with Brandon Dorlus.
Yeah, I think if they don't get one of the top two guys, it's throw them all at the wall, right? Like we've seen the linebacker year where they took three, right? One of these guys is going to pan out, right? Like you just gotta, when you've got all the extra picks, especially you've got the four picks in sixth and seventh round, you've got ability to move around up and down day three if you need it to, and you can focus on whatever priority you didn't hit early. There's a good chance that they're using those moves to land the defensive tackle that another one that they do like, or take multiple swings at it. I'm with you on that. Yeah, Dorlus would be a pretty fun pick if you're talking about 80. And technically, we'd get a chance to swing back around if we had more time. We could go back because they have 97 to come back and do a lot of these things.
It would be my pick. There we go.
You're sneaking that in just to say that we did have it.
You know, you guys made great picks at wide receiver. Paul and Jay, I think those two guys would be really great fits. But if they're going to get those guys, they might have to, particularly Polk, they might have to use some of those extra picks to go up and get them.
That's the other thing. I have been fully, you know, I think the best thing they could do with the fact they have 10 picks is just find a way to sneak, to move around, whether it's, maybe it's moving back in round two, a favorite move of Duke Tobin. Maybe it's packaging late picks to move up a little bit. I want to see more picks in the top 120. Use that to use your capital to end up with six picks in the top 120 somehow, or something like that range. Cause those are the guys that can really come in, that could really help you. You could fill all your spots and feel comfortable with your depth and development. And so, to me, that should be a marker that I'll look at when we get to that point, you know, with their fourth round pick. I want to know how many guys did they get in that top 20? Did they use their capital at all, or did they just let the board play out?
Third all in favor. Team in the league. Third ahead, youngest Butch. Team in the league doesn't need 10 picks.
No,
I don't. They don't have enough roster spots for those guys.
Yeah. In the balance, that's really tough, though, is everyone knows the value of those sixes and sevens. And so how much do are they willing to use their fifth at 149 to move up, or would they use 97 to move up 10 spots with Brian Callahan's Titans from 49 to 38? Would that get it done? I don't know, but just scenarios that I think a lot of people have thought about for sure.
I can't tell you how many years covering this club I've sat there in the second round and said they should just move up 10 spots in round two, and they never do it. Cam Taylor-Britt, three spots was the closest thing that we've seen to a move up. So it's obviously possible, but not necessarily likely. Well, we'll have all of this stuff to talk about and so much more when we get to our live post-draft special at BetMGM Sportsbook and Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. If you haven't been down there, it is awesome. You've got Nation with all their delicious food, drinks. The burgers are off the chart. I had the red and blue the other day, crushed it. You got the Sportsbook right down there in the same room, right down there, right across from GABP on the corner where that old galley used to be. It is a great spot, and we will be down there Tuesday, April 30th, 7 o'clock, with Bengals Director of College Scouting Mike Potts breaking down every move that was made. All the players, come on down, have some drinks, listen. We'll hang out afterwards, take your questions, and kick it for a while. So we hope to see everybody down there at BetMGM Sportsbook and Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. But I was happy to see you guys here today, so thanks a bunch. Butch Hobson, James Rapine, thanks for joining. I got to say, we're going to spend a lot of time together. We're just going to spend a lot of time together over the next few days, so
I'm going to go sign up my athletic subscription right now.
Yeah, can you renew? I'll send you a guest pass. I mean,
it's like $1 a month to sign up or something right now.
And then be like, oh, I don't know. It worked yesterday.
Sounds made up.
All right, we'll talk to you all later. Have a good one. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
See you guys.
Time together over the next few days, so
I'm going to go sign up my athletic subscription right now.
Yeah, can you renew? I'll send you a guest pass. I mean, it's like
$1 a month to sign up or something right now.
And then be like, oh, I don't know. It worked yesterday.
Sounds made up.
All right, we'll talk to you all later. Have a good one. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
See you guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.